From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. 40 years ago, thousands of young people made their way to San Francisco to be part of a cultural upheaval that's become the stuff of legend. The call went out in January 1967, urging people to come to a gathering in Golden Gate Park called the Human Be-In. The Summer of Love followed. The celebration was declared over in October with a mock funeral dubbed the Death of Hippie. The Whitney Museum of American Art in New York is trying to recapture this brief moment through the psychedelic art and music of the time. Rick Carr reports.
Down in the sunken sculpture court just in front of the Whitney sits one of the exhibition's centerpieces. Not really a sculpture, but a 1965 Porsche covered with trippy paintings of butterflies, a bloody American flag, and the car's owner, Janis Joplin. Head upstairs to the Whitney's main gallery, and as soon as you step off the elevator, you're likely to hear another casualty of the era. Jim Morrison's voice is just one that booms out of a room that's designed to recreate a vintage Summer of Love concert, with a lurid light show projected on the far wall. There are also scores of concert posters and album covers, and a room full of photos of the superstars of the day. Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, the Rolling Stones' Brian Jones, even a few who managed to survive. Not what you'd expect from a serious museum. The show's curator, Christoph Grunenberg, says for 40 years, the art world just would not take psychedelia seriously.
It's been tainted by its association with popular culture.
Grunenberg directs Britain's Tate Liverpool Museum, where the show premiered 2 years ago. He says the art world didn't take psychedelia seriously because it got too popular too quickly. And he says most of its best examples were never supposed to hang in galleries anyway. It was practical art on concert posters or in mind-bending light shows.
Which again, in some ways you could say, is part of a concert. It's not a form of art in itself. However, that aesthetic did translate into painting, did translate into sculpture, into installations.
There are some examples of psychedelic fine art in the show. A few sculptures, lots of experimental films, and a handful of paintings and installations. But the movement didn't really produce any blue-chip artists who are remembered today. Music, on the other hand, is everywhere. Rock, experiments with synthesizers, and lots of sitars and tablas. That makes sense, according to Chicago Sun-Times music critic Jim DeRogatis. He wrote a book about psychedelic music called Kaleidoscope Eyes. DeRogatis says the era's art and music were tied together by psychedelic drugs.
If you read psychedelic researchers or have had any experiences yourself, one of the key factors that psychedelic explorers talk about is this sensation of synesthesia, which is the perception of seeing sound as colors, being able to actually view music.
The show at the Whitney views the psychedelic scenes in San Francisco, New York, and London. But this was a worldwide phenomenon. It thrived in Austin and Denver, in Paris, Munich, even in Turkey and Thailand. Jim DeRogatis says that he's noticed a tendency for our culture to take a narrow view of a global movement with a long history.
We neither go backwards to link it to Mayan art that was made under the influence of psychedelic mushrooms, right? Or forwards to link it to art that's made today digitally under the influence of ecstasy and techno. People have been taking drugs that put them in a different place since they were people and not monkeys, and they're doing it today. And yet the entirety of psychedelic art, music, fashion gets reduced to a 2.5-month period in San Francisco in 1967.
But curator Christoph Grunenberg says he chose the cities he did because they were the most influential. He jokes that the show is a family experience. Grandma and grandpa can reminisce about the Fillmore and Woodstock while mom and dad and the grandkids learn some living history. It's summer 2007, after all, so New York and its museums are filling up with families on vacation. Whitney Museum assistant curator Henrietta Holdish says that explains the show's focus.
I think it is an exhibition that does address, in a way, everybody. I mean, it's a very broad general audience, rock fans, music fans, as well as the art audience. And I think that was a consideration in taking this exhibition and showing it over the summer, because that is what our audience is over the summertime.
The Summer of Love will be on display at the Whitney Museum of American Art until September 16th. For NPR News, I'm Rick Carr in New York.